yours. You can keep whatever you want. I have no problem with you keeping whatever you want, but you must go through it and you must take it with you. I said, I'm not going to have room where I'm going to keep all your stuff. If you want it, go right ahead, but you have to go through it. And so the girls, I felt bad, you know, like they were sitting there, Shabbos was over like at 10 o'clock. They're sitting there going through their stuff. And I'm like looking at, and some of the stuff was really like stuff, really junk, like garbage that they just had never gotten through. And one daughter had a box, and in her box were things that she had saved from elementary school. And some of them were the things that I did with her. I was like, oh my gosh, I did that with your class. I did that with your class. She's like, Mommy, I was saving it. I said, you're entitled to save it. She's like, but where would I put it? So now I feel bad. Now I feel guilty. It's like, oh my gosh, now it's in the recycling box. But I did it with her. She wanted to save it. And now I'm telling her I don't have room for it, and she doesn't have room for it. Like, at what point do you let go, right? It's just hard. So then I was feeling guilty that I made her clean it out. Yeah, whatever. Okay.
Take a picture.
Maybe we'll do that. So, that is it. So to what extent do you have to go? So we've already discovered that if somebody does something for you, even if it seems to be for their benefit, even if it seems to be no sweat off their back, they have to. But let's go through, and we're going to see that it goes even beyond that. Let's look at... On the back, you'll see there's an excerpt from H.com, Thanksgiving should not be only once a year. So on the back of that one, there's a Hebrew page that it says Chidushei Halev on top. It's probably like the first set of Hebrew. Is that right? It's 1, 2, 3. It's the fourth, the back of the fourth page. Okay, so we're going to start on the left column. We're going to see, I think it's also going to be shocking, about who else we have to have or what kind of people we have to have gratitude for. So on the left side of the page, Al davar asher lo kidmu eschem belechem uvemayim bederech betzeischem mimitzrayim v'asher sachar alecha espilam. There are two nations that are forbidden from joining the Jewish people because of incidents that happened in history that caused them to show that they don't have the character traits to make them a proper match. And that is Ammon and Moab. So the pasuk tells us that Ammon and Moab, two nations, cannot join the Jewish people. And the reason in this pasuk in Devarim is because they did not, for two reasons. Number one, when you were in the Midbar, when you were traveling and you were almost in Israel and you needed water, your water source and your food sources were running out. It was at the end of the journey in the Midbar when Moshe, Aaron, Miriam were passing away and the sustenances that they had in their merits were slowly easing out. They did not come up to you and offer you food. They didn't offer you water. And also, besides for that, they hired Bilam to come and curse you. So Bilam was one of the topics, and the curses were one of the topics that we had discussed in Yarchei Kala a couple years ago, right? We did. So we can understand that. So we could see, okay, well, somebody who, a nation who hires one of their own to come and curse you, to destroy you, maybe that's not such a good fit. But what's about the food and the water? So we're going to see, like, how do those two relate? And actually, we'll see, we're going to actually rate them in terms of which is more severe. Kasav haramba. The Ramban says, V'hanir'e elai, ki ha-kasav hirchik, shnei ha-achim ha-ele, shahayu gomle chesen me'avram. These are two brothers, Ammon and Moab, were descendants of Lot. Lot was the nephew of Avram, who was a beneficiary of all of the chesed, of all of the kindness of Avram. Shehitzil avihem ve'imam min hacherev ve'hashevi. Avram rescued Lot from being a captive in a war. U'bizchuso shalcham Hashem mitoch ha'afecha. And in the merit of Avram, Lot and his family were saved from the destruction and the overturning of Sodom. And they were obligated, because of that, to forever be grateful for the Jewish people. But they did not. They were not. Instead, they did bad to the Jewish people. Ha'achad, one of them, Sachar alav Bilam ben Ba'ar, they hired out Bilam son of Ba'ar, Ve'hem ha-Moavim, that was the Moav nation, Ve'ha'achad, and the other nation, Lo kidem oso b'lechem uvamayim, and the Amal nation did not come forward with water and bread, Kasher karvu l'mulo, when they were at their border and were desperate for food. We see from here, She'amon and Moav ne'esru lavo b'kahal Hashem. Amon and Moab were forbidden from entering the kingdom, the treaty of Hashem. B'glal shahayu chayavim lahakir tova la'avram. They should have been thankful to Avram for the kindness that he did. Ve'heim lo asu kein. And they did not do so. Ella, rather, Amon lo hotzi lebnei Yisrael lechem umayim. They didn't come with food and water. Umov sacharis bilam lekalalam. And Moab hired them to be cursed. We see from here, Shenaesru le'avo bikal rak biglal shayu kafuyin tova le'avram avinu. They had, instead of the what we've been discussing, hakaras hatov, they were kafoy tov. They were deniers of the good. Vilu lechein lo hayu ne'esarim lavo bikahal. Had they done so, had they given food and water, they would have been allowed to join the Jewish people at any point. Had they not sent someone to curse us, they could have been part of us. Umikan, and from here, Nitan lil mod goldel hapigam b'mida lihios kafoy tova. This teaches us the severity of the blemish of having negative activities towards someone who we owe gratitude to. Hare ra'oy la'asram lavo b'kahal machma shem kafoy tova ala chesed shenasal avoseyem lifnei arba me'o shana. The thanks that they should have had for us for things that were done to them happened 400 years prior. Lot was saved from a war, from being captive. The city of Sodom was overturned. That was 400 years before their great-great-grandchildren ever even thought about not giving food or water. However, Ve'ein ra'oy la'asram levo b'kahal machmas chomer chet'am. It doesn't tell us that they couldn't come, that they couldn't enter because of the gravity of the sin that they did, the gravity of their decision of what they did. Because look, think about what they did. Shehishtadlu lehashchis es Yisrael al yedei Bilam. They attempted to destroy the very Jewish people by cursing. So Hashem doesn't say, you know what? You can't join the Jewish people because you tried to destroy the Jewish people. That's not the reason. That's not what happened. Ve'al yedei havkaras b'noseihen. And not because they offered their own daughters to sin with the men of the Jewish people. That's not what happened. But not because they wanted to uproot us. Not because they wanted our men to commit adultery, but rather because they were not showing hakaras hatov. V'tzarech lomar, shahapigam b'midos shenis galeh al yedeze shayu kafoy tova, haya gadel yoser. And this is where it gets really fascinating. The blemish of not being grateful is worse than the blemish of wanting to kill somebody. That they had wanted to uproot us and were unsuccessful. That's how far and that's how strong the obligation of recognizing the good goes. 400 years later, we see a situation where somebody did not recognize something that was done to them, and because of that, they were prevented from joining us, even though that was not the worst thing that they did. If you would rate them on a scale of 1 to 10 and you would have to put them in the level of which is worse, which is better, obviously, killing someone is worse. It doesn't take away from the fact that they tried to kill us and that was bad, but to show the depth of that midah, of that character trait. Umukumoke nitan lomod goldel hapigam lios kafoy tova. We also need to study this lesson even more about not, you know, about not finding fault with others who have done us good. Mimash amar Yosef la'eshes Potiphar. Let's take another very strong example. Yosef and the wife of Potiphar, who he worked for, who tried to seduce him. What happened? Einenu godel bibayis hazeh mimeni. He tries to talk her down. He's trying to avoid her advances. Vilo chashach mimeni meuma. He says to her, listen, lady, I can't be with you. I can't. I am the highest appointed person in your husband's house. He has not held anything back to me. He has given me the key, the rights to everything. Ki im osa ba'asher at ishto. I'm available to everything in this house except for you. You are his wife. Ve'eich e'eseh hara'a hagdola hazos v'chatasi le'lokim. How could I do this sin? How could I sin with you when your husband has given me so much? Operush has Sfarno Shum. And the Sfarno explains over there, Hara'a hagdola hazos, this evil thing. And the Sfarno explains that when you hear the words this evil thing, you would assume that it means the adulterous relationship that he were to have with her. But it's not what it's referring to. Lishalem ra'a tachas tova. I can't, for the life of me, I can't go against someone who's done something good to me and do something bad to them. So it would have been regardless of whatever else she would ask for him. Hare mivuar, shel Yosef haya chayav lehimaneya, me lezanos im eshes Potiphar, mishum hakaras hatov lepotiphar. Because Yosef was obligated to have hakaras hatov for Potiphar, that obligated him to withhold himself and to stand strong in his conviction of not having an adulterous relationship with her, because Shef Kido Albeso, because he was appointed to be the head, the overseer of Potiphar's house. Fehagam Shahaya Le Yosef Hakrech Gadol Lizanosima. He probably had a very strong desire and motivation to be with her. Lemalei tavosav, to fulfill his desires, ulehatzil es atzmo meyisurim kashim, and to just get her off of his back. She made him nuts, and we're going to see in future pages how harsh the advances were and how she worked so hard at her goal. Ukimosh amru chazal, and just like our rabbis teach us, amrolo hareini chovsheich beveis hasurin. And here it is, like this goes through a whole details about how she would change her clothes often and she would make herself beautiful and all kinds of things that she would do to implore upon him to act with her. And despite all this, Amar Yosef Laishas Potiphar, Yosef said to her, She'eno yachol lizanosima, that he can't, Mishel Maisa Potiphar heitev imo, because of how Potiphar helped him. Hare mivuar, we learn from here, shechayav adam lechbosh es taivaso, that a person has to really work hard to conquer and to strengthen themselves against their desires, ulisvol yisurin kashin, and even to have to go through undue duress and hardship. Kedei lahakir tova laadam sheitiv imo shelo b'mitzkavein, to help, to give thanks to a person who did good to them even without thinking about it. It wasn't Potiphar's desire to do good to Yosef that he appointed Yosef as the head of his house. He wasn't thinking, oh, you know, nice chap, you know, I think I'll give him some honor. I'll make him famous. I'll make him important. Why did he do that? Because he saw how important Yosef was, how smart Yosef was, how much insight Yosef had, how successful he was, and he said, I need him. I have this whole, you know, I have property, I have a business, I have all of this. I want my business to prosper. I want my business to grow. I need somebody with wit and with wisdom and with savvy that can make this happen for me. That's why he chose Yosef. There was no personal benefit that he was working on. It happens that Yosef got benefit from it because now he's important and now he has a job, or it helps him to rise up in his stature, and that's how he ended up, you know, where he was. It was all part of his, you know, going up in the rungs, but it had nothing to do. That was not Potiphar's issue at all. It was all self-centered. It was all because of that. So now let's look at, we continue on the next page. Yeah?
I mean, I think this is kind of what you're saying, that in relationships, there's often a mixture of good and not so good, right? Like, it's not just that, oh, this person was so wonderfully giving and we benefited so much, but that there's also stuff that went on that, you know, maybe, yeah, I guess you're saying, like, wasn't a benefit to us, or...
selfish, even.
We felt taken advantage of,
right,
or we felt mistreated. So how do you balance that in your own head? You know, which I guess Yosef,
right,
Tzadik was able to do, but I think it's a real struggle for most of us,
right,
human beings, normal people.
Yeah, so clearly, what he struggled with is much worse, I mean, on a higher degree, something that most, you know, most people don't have to struggle to that extent with it. But you're right, there is an inner, there is sometimes that inner conflict of, like, why should I thank him after all? Not, okay, they might have done this for me, but think about all the other, you know, 10 things that, you know, they might have done one thing to me and the other 9 were negative. Mm-hmm. So, again, like you're saying, it's hard, but I think it's something that we have to work on, and to just by learning to the extent that we need to have that recognition, it's something to help us maybe aspire to, that maybe right now we can't do that now, but it's something that we could work on ourselves, or kind of maybe, depending on the situations, parts of it we could put on the side and just at least thank for this part and deal with that, with the rest of it, as a separate entity, mm-hmm, for separate things.
That's actually what's required of us. To
it's required of us that we are supposed to raise upon.
Be,
yeah,
let go of the stuff that wasn't so positive in the relationship.
I think that's a separate thing, though. The letting go and not focusing on the negative doesn't have to be exclusive to thanking them for what they did do.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like, you know, like, I can still be thankful for the parts that I did get that were good and deal with the other parts in another way. And there's all kinds of, because nothing's in a box, right? Like, nothing is so easily sectioned off where, you know, this is my happy time, this is my sad time, this was my challenging time. Like, everything kind of gets blended. And even, you know, the people that we interact with on a daily basis, like, there's positive and negative interactions, and it could change on a daily basis. It could change depending on what's going on in our life or their life, or it doesn't always have to be the same. It's not nothing, everything's fluid. Like, everything kind of blends and meshes, and you have to kind of, I guess, some things you have to, I guess, try to compartmentalize, is that a word? You have to, like, put into little compartments, into little neat boxes sometimes, because it gets overwhelming if not, right? Like, when you think of, like, all, you know, the multiple tasks that you have to complete on a given day, if you start thinking about all the tasks, you feel overwhelmed. So if you kind of just say, okay, now it is 11:50, at 11:50, I'm doing what I need to be doing at 11:50, I'm doing this, and everything else is off to the side for now. So right now, and again, that takes a strength in character. Besides, like, okay, right now my obligation is to thank this person. Yes, they insulted me, or yes, they embarrassed me, but I have an obligation to thank them, just, and then kind of put that in the square for now and deal with your feelings of pain or hurt in some other way. Again, it's hard. And no one is saying, I think that also what we're seeing from here is that none of this is easy, you know. Mm-hmm. Whereas we're taking the, okay, you know, someone does me a favor, they give me a ride, thank you. Like, of course you say thank you. Like, what kind of person would you be if you didn't say thank you? Those are the easy ones, mm-hmm, right? Those are the easy ones. And we're seeing from here that there's all kinds of examples that they're challenging. They really are hard. And, like, do I really have to thank somebody for that? Do I really? You know, if somebody calls me out on something that I did in front of a room full of people, And I'm embarrassed. And I could still remember that embarrassment years later. But because they did that, and it, you know, and because I was insulted by what they did, I removed myself from the situation, took myself someplace else, and good things came about from it. So, like, do I really have to thank that person for embarrassing me now? Like, thank you so much that you embarrassed me in front of people, but it made me make a move on, you know, it made me make a lifestyle change that I'm grateful for today. That's hard. Right? That's hard. And, you know, I don't necessarily want to see that person again. But there are times, so maybe do we have to necessarily go back and trace that person and thank her? Or if I was in a situation, maybe where I'm in a situation where she needs me now, or where I'm in a situation where I have the chance to do something for this person, unlikely, but let's say, do I do it because, well, I kind of owe her. She did something for me, so now I do something for her. Like, are we doing tit for tat? Like, at what point does that stop? Right? You know, yeah. Or is it, you know, one of those ones, well, you know, what that natira, like, you're not allowed to take revenge, so if someone doesn't do something for you, you can't do it for them, but on the same time, if someone doesn't do something for you, you can say, well, I'm going to do it to you, even though you didn't do it to me. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
So everything, it's, you know, we're focusing on one thing, but it's not so simple, right? It's really not simple, and, like, the fact that there are, you know, pages and pages that discuss how we can work on ourselves and showing us the different scenarios, how it is challenging even for the most righteous of people, is an indication that, yeah, it's not going to be something that's easy for me to do, and it's something that I have to work on myself. But maybe if we start with those little things, then it will build up. If I pick up that banana peel from the floor and I don't throw my clothes on the floor, or I just... those things, again, it's just setting it so it becomes a habit, and it becomes something that's easier for me to do when the harder, you know, when push comes to shove.
This is a bit of a tangent, but okay. Does that apply to parents? Because I have friends who their kids criticize them for having embarrassed them, and some of them have even been counseled by psychologists not to have anything more to do with their parents,
right?
Because the parents affect them so badly. So what can we do about that, or like what is their obligation?
So that's a loaded question. I don't think it's an answer that I'm equipped to answer. I'm not a professional, but again, I think in your regular relationship of a regular wholesome parent-child relationship where everyone is trying to do the best that they can under the situation that they have, we assume that their intentions were good, and sometimes we make mistakes, right? There might be more toxic relationships where, for whatever reasons, people were not doing the best they could, or maybe they were, but they were battling other demons or whatever else. That would take some real, you know, like you said, counseling from professionals, both in the line of, you know, therapy and even under rabbinic counseling. Like, here's what my therapist said. What's my what is my Torah obligation to these parents? Do I have one? Right? So that's it. You know, and on the very basis for the fact that your parents brought you into this world and you are alive today, we should thank our parents. But again, if there's other help.
I personally don't think you're ever exonerated or whatever,
right?
Unrelieved of that obligation.
Right.
But apparently, the current, psychobabble.
Right, the psychobabble. So again, it would really depend on the situation. There would be times where, even, you know, under a bit of consultation, a person would be told, "You, under this situation, you have no obligation." Mm-hmm. But again, that's best left for professionals. I don't know. Okay, so we have a few minutes left for today. So let's just finish off this bottom of this paragraph so we could just kind of close off on the Amon and Moav thing before we go on to other ideas. So here it says, Hine Amon Hirshia Bazeh Yoser Mikulam. Amon seems to be worse, according to the rabbis, than both of them. Ki b'nei Esa v'hamoavim, Kasher yadzu shehu's haru Yisrael, shel lo yisgaru bahem, hotziu lechem umayim chutz ligvulam. So Amon, the nation who refused to go out to give forth water and bread, was worse than Moab Because there was the children of Esav, the children of Edom, and the children of Moab, who did come out and give food, because the Jews said, listen, we're not starting up with you. And we're not using this as a ploy. This is not a military tactic that we're going to come, we're going to look defenseless, we need water, we need a drink, we're dying, and then spring on you. We're not here to attack you. But Ammon lo aval lasos kein. Ammon did not want to. Even though they knew that nothing was going to happen to them, they were under no risk. Nothing was going to happen to them. They didn't want to. Bezetam, and this is the reason why it says in the Pasuk, Asher lo kidmu, because they did not come forward. They did not come out. Shelo yatzu likrosam belechem uvamayim kasher asu ha'acherim. Other nations did come out, and they did say, oh, there's this helpless, defenseless nation. They are human beings. They are thirsty. There's men, there's women, there's children. Let's provide for them. Ulekach hikdim hakasuv amoni. That's why it says Ammon and Moab first. Why they are the ones who are included in the nations that are not allowed to join the people, because they should have jumped first, but they didn't. So now they are listed as the first in front of Moab. And again, we might think that this is really shocking, that really what Moab did by trying to uproot the Jewish people both physically and spiritually would be considered a worse deed, because that was an active deed, that was an actual action that they did, a direct cause to endanger the Jewish people, whereas Ammon, it was kind of indirect. There was no positive obligation that they had to help. There was no actual way that they were actively destroying the Jewish people. There was a chance for doing a kindness. They passed up on the chance, yet others didn't pass up on the chance. So all's well that ends well, right? What's the difference? They had food, they had drink. It didn't really affect the Jewish people in that way. But again, what we are trying to see, that reason that they passed on this opportunity stemmed from their lack of hakaras hatov, stemmed from their lack of appreciation. And again, if we go to the root of why they acted as they did, then that is what was wrong from their behavior. The fact, okay, so you had a chance, you could have done a favor for somebody, you missed it, oh well, too bad, someone else did it. But when we see why they did it, and that what was lacking, again, it's to come and teach us and to come to show us that importance of having hakaras hatov. It's not, oh well, you missed a chance. It's nuts. You have this makeup in you. Someone did something for your forefathers 400 years ago. You have a chance to thank them. Where were you? Why weren't you there? So we'll have to continue with that thought and see other situation of let's not be the where were you, why weren't you there, and how we can be the ones to jump out and take this lesson and put it into practice.
We can collect the store shoes if that's safer. Yeah. And but if you wrote on yours and you want to bring it back every day, that's also fine. Just we don't want to hand out.
Yes, yeah, so we'll hold on to it for you.
Able to overcome that.
So that's a good question, because it uses the male version in the pasuk. It says male Ammon, male Moab. Females were excluded from that because they would not have been the ones that were going out to give forth. They would have been held back because of modesty. They would have held back, and it would have been men that would have come forward. We'll discuss it more. Well, we could discuss it more, but that's why she was allowed. There's a whole discussions about it. It's another whole topic. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I did hear. I'll say the truth. I did hear a buzz. Yeah. From Queens.
In Queens.
Okay.
Right.
Australia.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Wow. Okay, well, I'm glad you're still having a good time. That's good to know. So my meeting tomorrow.
Chuck and the Packers are coming July 29th.
Okay.
And the kids at the end. I had three Marys there, and I had three kids born in Maryland. I have three babies. I mean, I call them babies, you know. 9, 11, 13, you know. They're getting big. I'm practicing here with the little ones. It's just,
Thanks.
And you have your kids.
And the kids.
Excellent. Okay, I'm
going to
go get all that.
So you're probably going to need an allowing yourself.
You know what?
I had a principal for
so many things. And also, again, the kids will have all these questions. And who's going to do this? Who's going to, like, we'll have to, some of it we're going to have to figure out.
Just you know what? You can't plan everything. Hashem is your co-pilot.
Right?
You don't really
it's
know.
It's kind of just going where we're pushed.
Listen, you made a major decision.
Yeah.
Made a major decision.
Yeah.
And Baruch Hashem is easy. That makes a major difference. And your kids are married and said,
yes.
You're not going. And then I'm taking all my kids, but I have to start to look for shit. I have to look for this, I have to look for that. You really do have wiggle room.
And my teenagers have already been there. So the hardest ages, they've made that transition.
And going to Chafetz Chaim, you're not going. And you're not going as a seed project for Chafetz Chaim. You're going to an established and everything. And you have a Chaim family.
Yeah.
It's really not only coming to your father and coming back to the family.
It's a nuclear.
And it's a small neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's a compressed neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to keep Garden Hills. It's not just like a main street to have this.
Yeah.
You have.
Yeah.
It's not like you have. You're coming back and one kid is in Lakewood and one kid is here and one kid's in Muncie.
Right.
Where are you?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
And you have to. You know.
I don't have to. Also, I've just been so tired. I'm just like spread myself. Right? My kids in New York, my kids here. Like, I go to New York and I focus on the kids in New York while I'm there, and then my other kids just do their thing. When I'm here, then it's like fielding. I'm, you know, like fielding from here. I'm just very
and you really have to lean on. You have every, I don't mean it. Every community, and I've been very good to you. Okay. So that, but you cannot just sit back and just. You're going to be, a symbiotic relationship. In fact, you're going to be fucking back.
Right.
You'll help him. He'll help you.
Right.
Your married kids are there.
You know,
it's like, on a certain, it's a harder line, but it's an easier line.
Right.
You will definitely have an emotional support.
Right.
Family.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing like that. You know that. Nothing like is it supportive and
my parents would be so good, like they won't come at the drop of the head, they won't run up time while they've been here.
And they have
and they will. Just so much easier to all just be in one.
He named my soul in my night. I mean, all these phrases that you keep saying and keep teaching. Your mamish living, it's your mamish living color.
When it comes back, it's like, oh yeah. Yeah,
it's
like down in there.
Yeah,
and then it's like,
that's what they mean.
Exactly.
I said it, I babbled it, I learned it, I hazarded it, my kids.
It.
It's talking to me.
Yeah.
It's like, Hashem, Mom should say, so it's like, it's really, really. Hatzlacha Rabba.
Thank you.
Hatzlacha Rabba. I just, I heard, as I say, I heard murmurs in New York. And nobody said anything, but I don't really know too much about what goes on. I tell you the truth. I only know things here people choose to tell me.
Right.
So if people don't, and I don't ask.
Right.
I hear. I don't even confirm everything I hear.
Right.
But in New York, it's a little, it's different.
It's
there
different.
I question.
There they chatter.
And here I feel like I'm not stepping on toes.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I said, okay, nobody said it. Okay, fine. But now when a woman said, I said,
it's true.
The source is
both. There's truth to some reverse.
But it's very, very good.
So we're going to be on the corner of March 47th and 73rd Avenue.
I have friends that have Abbas Israel. I have friends on 75th. I have a few friends. I go
so
a lot of shows.
Tell me about my friends.
I've heard that they have.
Right, so he actually gave my brother, Romeo.
But if you're interested, I'll pick you up with
my
God
for something. I forgot.
The oldest one, Yosef.
So my brother
is
around
the corner. Yes, so I'm very good friends with Esther.
Right.
I just want to say this. You know, her son moved to Boca.
Oh, he's one of the Boca.
The married one moved to Boca. They moved to Kara. The wife is also from Cuba and Hills. I've got her maiden name.
He's the doctor.
Common name. You'd
right.
Know her parents. I'm blanking for the minute.
Okay.
Oh, but then I'm going to
marry. Yeah.
So we'll be on that corner. Actually, if you go to 150 and cross the street, that's where my shul
are. The Torah.
If you go to 150 and then go a block and a half, there's my
Akka. You know, they go
two blocks over, my mom. My brother's
one corner.
My sister's around the other
corner.
I'm so excited.
You have more. Sachar levula teach. B'shav banim
l'gvulam.
Yes, that's
a good one. There you go. Yes, so they already have signed up for babysitting duties.
Boy.
I
think it'll be good.
Yeah, so this is where
someone has to buy my house.
Not you, Cynthia,
right?
But that's great. Yeah. So maybe I'll see you on my.
So you have to come put us on your circuit.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know? I go to Kibon Hill. I'm friends with the Ben Chavir.
Right. Jeremiah. Okay.
My friends, Chaim's family, Moskowitz, Malka and Shmuel Moskowitz.
Okay.
One of them is married Pop.
Oh, okay. What's her name, Moskowitz? Is Mary
Pop. Oh, Russell, that's a double header.
Yeah,
Sarah Faith.
Yeah, so she's a girl.
Okay, Sarah Rifka's mother and I went to school together.
Okay.
So I go to her for Shabbos.
Okay. Yeah, I know that.
I'm going to have another friend, Orphi. I wouldn't know a journey. A daughter married... my first name is Aviva Archimento Azriel, but I can't remember his last name.
I don't know. That doesn't ring a bell.
He's a Chapitayimi, kind of.
Yeah? I've been out for a while.
They went actually to Jackson, but really my main, you know, so Pach and there, I grew up, Pach's sister, Norma, Naomi Pach's sister.
Okay.
Her name is Sippy David. They live in Far Rockaway. We are friends since we're 14.
Oh, wow.
We go back. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but Norma, not me, I think she calls herself Pa.
Yeah.
But what do you know, her daughter, Sarah Rifka, I know a lot.
Right. So, yeah. Pa also.
Her husband died after.
Goes to show every Saturday. And then, I don't know if you realize what happened last time. You know that man, I forget what his name is. Is it Lou? I don't know. The man with the walker?
Yeah, I fell in.
I realized that he had a son who died, and I realized I knew him. I never knew who was his son. Mm-hmm. And I lived in Israel.
Yeah, of course. Not at home, no, but on the streets of Chats.
If I can get myself away, I'm a late sleeper. I hate going to anything before 10.
If you are,
Thank you.
Well, she's only doing, she's not doing the campaign anymore.
I'm not going to do this.
Oh.